have enough pictures, right? So you got all of them. If your kiddo isn't here this morning, there may be a few missing. We'll just give
the timing of the building and what we're trying to do. Mornings like this morning, it's unbelievable to see what we're doing. We also know that we're maybe just a little bit too full, so we're trying to sort out. I've told you all before to be praying about that, what the Lord would have us do next with the sanctuary, with the building, what we need to do with the services to keep us on mission for Him. And then again, like mornings like this morning, man, it's just a real blessing to be here. So thankful to see all the kids get up and run out of here. No, that come out wrong, didn't it? Thankful that we have. I bet she'll count up more than 50 kids, maybe 60, in a church our size. That's really kind of unbelievable. So very thankful for that. I hate cliche sermons. Like I said, I just kind of go where we're going. That being said, we'll be in Proverbs 31 this morning. Proverbs and beauty. Now, we've been in Proverbs since January, so don't try to pin this on me like it was like that. Plus, I told you a couple weeks ago the last 3 weeks of Proverbs would be blessing, beauty, and building. This week is beauty. This week, you and I will look at Proverbs chapter 31. We will read through it again. We'll slow down just a little bit. And I want to point out, or I just want to draw in, we're celebrating one of the most beautiful things God has given the world. A mother. To have a mother, to be a mother, to be someone that is a mother but not their mother. Like some of the praises here this morning are not for the people that we were born into or share the last name of, but the people that have stepped in and loved us well. And friends, that is on the plate for all of us, mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, to step into those positions in a world and a culture that's fallen apart and help grab some of these people and bring them under that umbrella. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're grieving something that you should have had but you didn't, I would beg you right now, figure out how to be that and be it for someone else. It is within the will of God, is within the power of God for you and I to partake in godly things. And loving people well, like a mother, is one of those things you and I can partake in. It's one of those things that we're called to. Proverbs 31 gives us this ideal. It is high and lofty and lifted up, and we've talked about that before, but it's something to shoot at. It's a target to aim for. And if you're taking steps that look more like this tomorrow than you did today, or more today than you did tomorrow, guess what? You're going in the right direction. And for men, it would sound something like this: look and act like Jesus. Like, it's the same kind of bar. It's huge and unattainable, and yet every day you and I wake up, we are supposed to be pursuing it. So Proverbs chapter 31, start in verse 10. Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. Verse 10, the beauty of a woman, the beauty of a mother is what? Number one, she is rare. There is beauty. I love doing wedding ceremonies and talking about the ring. And before they started coming out with all the rubber and stuff like that, it made a lot more sense. But like all the gasket rings kind of blow it up because they're all over the place. But like when you pull the ring and you hold the ring and it's gold or it's platinum or titanium or whatever, it's a metal and it's rare. It makes it valuable. You know, a woman that pursues the Lord, a wise woman, a wise mother, she's rare. You say, well, I mean, look around here. There's a bunch of them here. Listen, in the course of human history, there have been very few wise women. There have been very few righteous and noble men, just in sheer number or statistics. If you know five, man, your life is good. Like, I know 5, 10 people. This church should be producing them. When we come here, you and I should walk into the presence of wise and noble people. But just looking throughout human history, looking across our culture right now, a wise woman is rare. And the Lord says so. That's why she is so valuable. Young men, that's why you're told or you're taught or you're coached to pursue not beauty, but wisdom and character. Because beauty is everywhere. Wisdom and character is far more scarce. And when you and I find those things, we are to grab a hold of them, to hang on to them, to not let go. How about verse 11? The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. Those most vulnerable to her are blessed. I'll tell you the most awesome thing about being not just around a wife or a mother of good character, but being around Christian people. You know, best thing about that is the vulnerability you and I get to have and not be burnt by it. We are to create homes and culture where it is safe. You and I to struggle together, to love together. A woman that is wise, when she is attached to the love of her life, to her family, to all of those who know her, the vulnerable around her are blessed, not cursed. They're helped and not hurt. Wives, you have no idea, and ones that are going to be wives, you have no idea how much access, how much help, how much hurt you can be in the life of your husband. The things that can be accomplished when you are pouring into him would blow your mind. It's not good for man to be alone, so God created a helpmate. God created the one that would supplement all of his weaknesses. Everything he could not do, she was there to do. He would complement all of his strengths. The things he was good at, she would make him better, stronger, and push him further. Your position in life is not weakness. It is value you just don't understand. And just like for the men, it's value in humility. It's value in character, not power or passion or possession. And so we don't understand it like we should. You wives here today, you wives soon to be, I would beg you to take serious this admonition, this piece of scripture. Do him good. Reward him with good, not evil. How about verse 13? She selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like a merchant, like the merchant ships bringing her food from far away. She makes resources into blessings. Women. Godly women take resources and make them blessings. It's not just stuff. It's not just money. It's not just wool and flax. Like, what even is flax? I don't know. I'd have to do a little more research, right? I'm pretty sure you eat it now and it's in like granola and stuff. I don't know, but they're making clothes with it then. They take resources and make them blessings. What kind of resources you have? What kind of resources do you have? Are you making them blessings? The number one resource you and I have, our time. Godly women take their time as a resource and turn it into a blessing. Phone calls, text messages, time together, time building in, time discipling, time serving. These are things that take your most valuable resource, is your time. You waste some money, you get in trouble, you make a bad decision, you can earn that back, you can do that over. God can bless you in a way that makes that disappear, but you and I are not getting back another day. Another minute, another hour. It's not coming back. Your most valuable resource is your time. Verse 15. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household. The heart of wisdom, one of the glories of a godly wife, one of the glories of a godly mother, she is sacrificial. All about this concept, all about godliness and sacrifice, all about motherhood is sacrifice. It's all sacrifice, from even pregnancy all the way on. You're growing, you're loving this child before you even, as the Lord knits it together in your womb. But all the while, it's using you, needing you, and then it transitions into babies and infants and toddlers and all the way up. Like I'm telling you, the statistics of kids that would make it to the age of five if it was just us guys, there's a different level of love and sacrifice there, especially early on. And I love seeing these guys with new babies, and it's like they are holding something so foreign. Right? They're terrified, and there's not really this interaction yet. And you just look at them and just say, listen, just wait. Just wait. One day they're going to recognize your voice. One day it's not just going to be get me to the one that feeds me and loves me and holds me tight. It will not be that. It will be something different. Just get there. About 7 months when you walk in the house and you say something and the kid starts to grin and it recognizes your voice, yeah, then it starts to feel a little more. Moms have that immediately. Moms have it immediately. One of the glories of a godly mother is the sacrifice they go through. From even wanting to be pregnant, even after that, and going into life and being the one to gather and corral and love and care and make sure they're not running out in the street and making sure they have shoes on or that they match, or all of these other things are good, godly, motherly things. And we are thankful for each one. How about verse 16? She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. Verse 18, she sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. There is shrewdness, verse 16, wisdom, verse 17, and diligence, verse 18. She sees the world as it is. Ladies, godly women see the world as it is. You do not have to shield things. You do not have to worry or be fearful. You do not need to change the way the world is to care for those. You need to see it as it is, and you need to teach them how to also live with shrewdness, how to also live with wisdom. Especially your daughters, as they navigate into this world that's so different than us, you and I need to be giving them a real concept of what the world is really like and what they're getting ready to walk into. A wise mother does that. She looks out and sees the world as it is, not as she would like it to be, not as it once was, or not as she wishes it were. She sees the world as it is. She takes inventory of what's going on. She takes care of those behind her, and she also teaches those how to do it themselves. Look at verse 19. She extends her hands to the spinning staff, and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. Her hands are both closed in work, closed doing the things that need to get done, working, but they are also open to the poor. She sees the needy. She is drawn to them. And again, another beautiful, godly, feminine quality to want to help, to want to love, to be drawn in that direction. That even starts before motherhood. It's one of the beauties and the glories of the way God has made women in general. It's not numbers and logic and moving forward. It's people. It's emotions. It's heart. You can see it when you talk. If you're just paying attention, you and I see God's glory in how He created male and female. Even before motherhood, women are the ones that are softer, tenderer. These things that are going on in their life drive them into the emotion of the person. They want to be there and be helpful and do these things. It is a glory that God has placed on their life. The godly mother is working with her hands, making her resources blessings, and all the while she is taking care of others that even aren't in her own house. It's a beautiful thing, a beautiful testimony to the church, a beautiful testimony to our Savior. Verse 21, she is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine, linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates. Keep reading with me. Where he sits among the elders in the land, she makes and sells linen garments and delivers belts to the merchants. She shields the young in safety. Godly women shield the younger in safety. Not just clothing, but wisdom and love and care. Like an umbrella taking care of them. She takes care of her own vulnerability and grace and dignity. She's modest. Not trying to drive attention to herself, but loving other people, being poured out like God was, like Jesus was. The godly woman is modest. She's not drawing attention. She's giving it. It's an amazing thing to read through. And she's doling out. She's loving on others with the good of her life. So not only is this a business sense, but this is all of it. What you have to offer is a blessing to those outside of your home, in your church, in your community, in your job. We were reading this morning in Sunday school in Acts, and it said that the Lord went with them wherever they went. The Lord went with them. Some of us, some of you have that testimony. Wherever you walk, the Lord is there. And man, other people are blessed by it. You've loved, you've cared, you've earned the right, you've done it on repeat, and now when you step into a situation, whether or not the people claim to know Jesus or not does not matter. You make their life better. And man, that is a godly, wonderful thing. Jesus did the same thing. It's why the broken clamored for him. You want to know why your phone rings with people that need help? You want to know why people bring their problems to you? Because the glory of God is on you, and something in you says that you can help them. At a bare minimum, when you speak love and care for them, they feel it. Man, that is a wonderful thing. The woman of Proverbs 31 does that as well. Keep reading with me. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor, and let her works praise her at the city gates. Friends, you have sat under some godly, wonderful women. You and I need to acknowledge that. And you know, sometimes we don't want to talk in public about things, and that is fine. We need to acknowledge that. We need to start making these proclamations to them. Like, there's nothing easier in the world than a text message. We have a real easy time sending negative stuff via text. Right? We need to change that around a little bit. Some of you need to take the time, take the opportunity to reach out to some of these ladies, not just here, but all over. Reach out to them and say, you have loved me well. You have impacted me. I appreciate that. You will show them more honor. You will do more for their day than any meal they're going to serve them, any gift they get today. Some of you all in here today have the power to bless them beyond your wildest dreams. And all you have to do is say, man, the Lord used you to love me, grow me, and help me. We could make things a lot better place. Make places a lot better if we would just do that. She is praised by God. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. The community she lives in praises her. She is the epitome of real beauty. The epitome of it. She has shown herself on repeat to have the character of the Lord's. But, you know, beautiful mothers are also a reflection. You and I are made in the image of God at birth. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, at salvation, you start to get made in His likeness. Made in His image. Can't take that from anybody. But, man, when you and I get serious about the Lord, we get made in His likeness. And a godly mother, there are few examples in the entire world that look more amazing than a godly mother. And again, you all, this is not narrowed down to just people born in your house. Some of you have done more. You've heard the testimony today for people that aren't related to you than you would have ever dreamed just by being there. Beautiful mothers are a reflection of God. Her best qualities are reflections of His beauty. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, like an angel, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, like them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided me, like an eagle stirring up its nest, watching over its nest, taking care of them, like a mother caring for her young. Isaiah 49 says, can a woman forget her nursing child that she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? Even they may forget, yet not I will forget. Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. That's God's message. You're looking at a woman with her infant, with her baby. Can she forget them? No. Man, and God says, I am like that. I have you engraved on my palm. Even if for some reason they would forget, I have you engraved on my palm. But He uses the idea of a mother to draw that picture in. It is beautiful. How about Isaiah 66:13? As one who his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Nobody comforts, especially when you're young, like a mother. Nobody comforts like that. Unless they're a nurse. Where y'all at? Huh? We're fading, aren't we? That's right. I got like 5 minutes. We're fading. Huh? Nobody comforts like a mother unless they're a nurse. Say amen. Everybody knows, right? We've lived through that before. Yep. Nurses and dads, they comfort about the same. Like, spin them around, right? Kick them on. You got to go. But I'm limping. I'm hurt. Isaiah says, God loves and comforts like a mother. Nobody comforts like that. Even as we get older, even as you get older and get married, one of the pitfalls of marriage for so many people is to run for that comfort even after you're married. Huh? A lot of messy stuff happens when you don't break that and take that into your spouse. Some of you getting married, listen, break that. Mama's still good, but husband or wife is paramount. Don't forget that. But man, that comfort is good. All the days of your life to be comforted. They're, mothers are almost irrational with how encouraging and loving they are. That's mine. Totally irrational, right? You made a mess. Oh, you're fine, honey. And she's even worse with the grandkids. Matthew 22:37 says this, how often would I have gathered you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? And again, Jesus looks out and says, man, God loves the city of Jerusalem. He loves these people, and he would have gathered them up like a hen and her chicks. Beautiful promises here, beautiful thoughts. Hosea 13:8, I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. Also God. Man, you get in hard moments where things aren't going your way, just remember, mama bear. And God says, I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. Beautiful mothers are honored by God the Father in the days of Moses. Deuteronomy 5 says, honor your mother and your father. It's the first promise, or the first command with a promise. You want to know why? If you don't honor mom and dad, you won't honor anybody else, including the Lord, or the police, or your boss, or your spouse. Okay? Mom and dad, you and I need to be honorable people. But children, you are required to honor your mother and father. They are honored by Jesus at his death on the cross in John 19. He looks down, and there's his mother weeping at his feet. And he looks over at John, and he says, behold your mom. Jesus, even in that moment, is looking out for the rest of the life of his mother and looking at John and saying, I love you. I trust you more than I even trust my own family. Is that not wild? And he looks at John and says, behold your mother. Behold your son. Even in his death on the cross, Jesus looks at his mother and loves her and honors her. By Paul, he's honored. Paul honors mothers for their influence in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. Paul says, man, your grandmother and your mom were serious about the Lord, and I see that faith in you, Timothy. Glorious. And by God, in the idea of motherhood by proxy in Titus chapter 2, he looks at the ladies of the church and say, teach the young ones to love. Teach them to love their families. Teach them to love their children. Teach them to do the things they need to do that keep society together. That's Titus 2. Mothers are honored by proxy. The whole concept of motherhood. And look at this picture. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't that just beautiful? You know the last thing about motherhood, you're all looking like, what in the world? You know the last thing about motherhood? It's got to be real. It has got to be real. You see, all those photos right there are artificial. Made up. Out of thin air from some computer. There's no beauty in any of that. It's a farce. But real motherhood is real. It's dirty. It's messy. Sometimes there's a failure that has to be forgiven, right? Not perfect, just shooting. Not perfect, just aiming, just trying, just longing. And there are moments in motherhood that you and I have to say, I'm sorry, I missed. Moments of being a father, we have to say, I'm sorry, I missed. But listen, you all, the real thing is only good and glorious and beautiful if it's real. If it's fake or a picture or some kind of insanity or Facebook baloney or whatever else, it's not beautiful. It's fake. Real motherhood is sometimes super hard, right? It's dirty. It's nasty. It's thankless. Like, oh, man, we just hope our kids grow up and figure it out. Like, wait a second, I really did have a couple allies loving on me, taking care of me. They weren't just being jerks for no reason. Like, there were reasons why. We really hope that. But listen, you cannot shoot to something false or fake or artificial. So some of you today need to let some things go. You need to look back in your past and see failures that are there and are real, and you need to figure out how to forgive those things. You need to let go of the bad examples of motherhood. You need to grab a hold of some good ones. If you have to manufacture it through the church, that's why we're here. But you need to look back and let go. You need to forgive. You need to look forward with hope, because the person you're looking back at is yourself. I have messed up. I have made a mess. I can't fix it. You look forward with hope. You repent where you need to, and you take the steps that need to come so that next Mother's Day things are different. See, motherhood, to be beautiful, it has to be real. And when things get real, they get messy. They get hard, and you and I have to sort through them like fallen people. As they come this morning to play, as we get ready to wrap up, I'm begging you this morning to deal with the things we've talked about today. Honor God.